Thank you for tuning in to the Sermon of the Week with Pastor Tommy A. Murphy of New Bethel Church of God in Christ. New Bethel is a church on the move for God, and this podcast is an extension of the ministry for getting out the gospel to the masses. At the end of the sermon, information will be given of our church's location, phone number, web address, and an opportunity to get this sermon in its entirety. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 4, verse 7, the word of God declares, "Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and in all you're getting, get understanding." Now let's go to the sermon of the week with Pastor Tommy A. Murphy. Be blessed.
Continue to do as we've done is in the book of Romans, chapter 5. I want to read those five verses as the base text of this discourse, and then I'll share what the Lord has given. In Romans 5, if you're there, verse 1 through 5, let's read those verses together. Romans 5, verse 1 through 5. It says, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith
into this grace
wherein we stand, and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations,
knowing that tribulation worketh patience,
in patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us." Come on, someone shout, salvation.
Salvation.
Now, I've been preaching from this text for a minute. Let me just start, as I did in 8 o'clock service, with just a brief word concerning the text that we read. Now, the text says, being justified by faith, that is, in fact, justified by faith is the definition of salvation. Amen. When you're saved, you are justified by faith. Because salvation means that the sin that was a part of your life, you're no longer condemned for the sin, because now justified by faith means you are just as if you never sinned. All right? That means that we've accepted the price that Christ, who is the propitiation for our sin, which means he is the substitute for our sin, that he paid the price for us. So we are no longer condemned by sin, but we've been freed from that by the blood of Jesus Christ. And these are benefits. It says that whenever you're saved, it says you have peace with God. That means that the devil doesn't have a stick to browbeat you with concerning sin. As you know, when you're a liar, you can never get comfortable, because the devil is always reminding you, hey, you're just like I am. Amen?
Uh-huh.
And so you're not condemned by those things, because you are now free from that. It says, by whom? First, it says, we have peace with God. I just want to list these. I can't camp out. But I declare every time I read that, when you think about the way the world is now, you know, it means something to be at peace with God.
Yes.
Amen. That means that you are no longer in opposition with God, but that you are standing in the place of peace. Amen. When you're in opposition, that means that God opposes you. Who in this room would ever want God to oppose them? Amen. It's like you're on the football field. The college football season started, I think, this past Thursday, and at least, I don't know if they do scrimmage games or whatever, but anyway, it's supposed to officially start on Thursday. And it's like, you know, you're on the offensive yourself, but then God is the opposing team. Now, how many points you think you'll score in a deal like that? No, I mean, so that's what this says when it says we have peace with God, which means we're no longer opposed God, but we are right where God wants us to be. Come on, tell your neighbor, that's one benefit.
That's one benefit.
Peace is one benefit that you have as a saved person, all right? And then it says, by whom we have access. Access is another powerful thing. And the reason why that's a powerful thing is because, you know, you don't ever want to be, if you live on this earth, I have a message that I share sometime that says life is fair. And it's couched from this perspective, that the Bible said it rains on the saved and the unsaved. So it's fair. Everybody goes through opposition. Everybody has ups and downs. I mean, everybody has storms come in their life. So it is fair from that perspective. But it says, but the thing that's different with a saved person versus an unsaved person, contrary to what the world believes. Now, the world will have you believe that God is just, you know, he's a loving God and that he's going to make all things work together for good no matter what you say about God. Now, that's just not really what the Bible says. But we like to make each other feel good by saying, oh, he's God. It don't matter how jacked up your life is. It's still well with you. No, it ain't well. Can I say it like this for all the English teachers? In here. Thank God for the education system that we see them as. It's good. The private schools are good. Charter schools are good. Shout out to all the schools. It ain't good if just because you are in the earth and because we have a God that we serve and a God that we love and a God who is loving, it doesn't mean that he just accepts whatever we put out. It doesn't work like that.
No, sir.
Amen. Because again, it's just not what the Bible says. One thing you can count on us to do is tell you only what the word says. Amen. It may be difficult to receive it sometimes, but it's still what the word says. So some people believe that God loves so much that I can listen. I have a religion, but I don't have a relationship. But this says I have, as a saved person, I have access to God. Which means the Bible says when the righteous cry.
Yes.
Now, why would he say righteous if it's just, he didn't say, look, if anybody cried. He said, when the righteous cries, the Lord hears.
Yes.
Amen. Righteous means I'm in right standing with God.
That's it.
That means that anything that I am involved in that doesn't look like God, I am not in right standing with God. But tell your neighbor, it's all right. It's all right. What's all right is you can repent and you can get saved. You can rededicate your life to God.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
Don't mean you have to walk out here with your head down, mean that you're condemned. No. Just means if the Lord has revealed something in your life that you know you need to get right, touch your neighbor and tell him, just do the Nike thing. Just do the Nike thing. That means just do it. Just do it. Don't try to. Don't wait. I'm going to give you some illustrations here in a few minutes about people that didn't do the right thing and the reasons why they didn't do what was right. But the Bible says, when the righteous cry, the Lord hear it and the Lord answers. And then some people say, well, listen, I'm a sinner and I know it. You know, I do all kind of crazy stuff. Whatever comes up, I do it. But I know I pray and I know the Lord answers. Now, you just have to look at what the words are. The Bible said in James, let's say amen for my sweetheart as she comes in.
Preach, Pastor.
Preach, okay. I'm sorry, where was I? Oh, I was in the book. All right. I was in the word. Would you stand up, sweetheart? We have guests that they may not know who you are. Yes. That's pretty good. Did you do that to that side? What you do? I'm sorry, my glass has some stains on. I was trying to see if there was some guests on that side so I can get her to, I wanted to see the hem of that dress twirl like it did earlier. If I can just touch the, in the word, the Bible said, he said in the book. Yes. He said the fervent, in James, he said the fervent and effectual prayers of anybody.
Oh no, a righteous man.
Of the righteous, he says, availeth much. And that's what the word said. So we just want to dispel the common misconception that we have about the word and about our relationship with God, and know that it means something when you're saved. Amen. Because what we want to do, we don't want to misunderstand and live a life in error and then believe that, listen, because we didn't know, God is just somehow going to accept it. God bless Brother Cornelius, who was back today. He was out for some weeks and having undergone some surgery. We praise God that he is back in the house of God. We praise God for this man of God today. Amen. And we celebrate his nurse as well, who is with him as well. That's good. Celebrate them. The nurses. But the Lord said, as you go through this, he says, one, we have peace with God. Then he says, we have access to God. You don't want to go through a problem without having someone that you can call on. The great thing about a saver as an unsaved person is when you're saved, you go through storms just like unsaved people do, but you don't go through by yourself. Amen. God is our justifier. He's also our exonerator. Amen. He's our lawyer. The person that testified said. Then he says, we have access by faith into this grace. Grace means favor with God. Amen. And then it says, we stand. As a saved person, we stand. We don't just falter. We don't just meander through life. We stand on the things of God. Amen. We're not just trying to make it. We are victorious right now. Amen. Tell your neighbor, I'm not hanging in there.
I'm not hanging in there.
Tell him, I'm standing. I'm standing. Amen. I'm not just trying to hold on. Listen, God's holding on to me. Amen. That means that, listen, the enemy is defeated and God is exalted in my life. And then it goes on to say, not only so in verse number 3, it said, but we glory in tribulation. It said that as a saved person, you can rejoice when things don't look good. Why? Because I don't care how they look. I know what God said. Amen. I don't live my life as a saved person based on what I see. Amen. I was telling in the earlier, I was talking to some people at Ian about my wife and I were in Atlanta. We're coming back in the truck and the truck broke down, and it looked like there was some damage done that might have meant the end of the engine, and it was even assumed that could well have been the problem by the persons that initially took a look at it, but it was not about what you see. Amen. It's about what God said. Now, it doesn't mean even if it needed another engine, it wouldn't have mattered. I'll tell you, neighbor, God's got that too. Amen. But it turned out it was nothing more than just a hose that goes to the heater mechanism of the car that pumps the heat into the cockpit of the car. As a matter of fact, I took the car 100,000 miles ago to 3 dealerships, and they told me I needed a new engine. The car has 350,000 miles on it now. All right? And they said at 243,000 miles, they said your engine is gone. That was 100,000 miles ago, and the same engine in the car. So, hold on one second. See, what that says is, it's not about what it looks like. It's always about what God says.
Yes.
Amen. Nobody can do us like God. The Bible said the just shall live by
faith.
See, faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things
not seen.
Not seen. So we don't live by what we see.
Amen.
Amen. We live by what we don't see. Amen. I mean that we don't see in the natural. In the natural, you will see a prognosis and a diagnosis of cancer. But by faith, you see yourself healed. The doctor would tell you in 6 months. But by faith, you will schedule a trip abroad in 12 months. Tell your neighbor, I'm going to live and not die. Tell him, oh yeah, I've been through some stuff. But tell him, I'm going to live through this as well. Amen. We believe God that we're not here. But see, that's what salvation does. It calls us. Now see, that's when I tell you, listen, it's something living by faith. It's something living a life of salvation. Amen. It's like no other life that you want to live. Now I know that, listen, folk, that this is the way the enemy does it. When you're not saved, that the enemy will tell you, child, you're about to give up your life if you get saved. That's why some of the more seasoned and brainy folk, intellectuals say, you know, you ought to live your life and then give your life to the Lord. Live so you ain't got the strength to do nothing else. And then give your life to the Lord. But I would declare that if you give your life to God, man, you will live with strength long far beyond. I'm about to get off on something now. I need to keep moving. But it's something. It's just something about living saved. I can just get happy all by myself, y'all. I promise. It means something. I mean, listen, without the Lord, you know, you go through some stuff. You wouldn't even make it through if it were not for the Lord. Amen. And the devil, how many times has the devil counted you out? And look at your neighbor and tell him, man, I'm still here. Listen, I'm not only am I here, but listen, I came here with a praise. I came to give God the glory. That's what we came here for. But the Bible said we glory in tribulation. And that's when the devil, let me move on, y'all. I got to talk about some exceptions here. It says, but tribulation, knowing the tribulation works patience, and patience experience works hope. Hope is expectation, and hope, expectation never causes us to be ashamed. That means anything, listen, when you're expecting God to move in your life, I declare he will always do something. Oh, bless God. I declare he will always do something mighty in your life. Now, I'm not suggesting that every time you pray and ask God to move in a certain way that God's going to do it. But I declare, if he don't do what you ask, I promise you he's going to do something. Because if he don't change, listen, if he don't change your situation, I declare he'll change you. You'll walk out of that situation wondering, man, what did God just do in my life? I remember when everybody mad when I used to go through. Huh? When I was going through, everybody in the house knew about it. But listen, but now, when I went through what I just went through, man, I just got to myself in my secret closet, and I went before the Lord, and God moved in my behalf. I dare you touch your neighbor and tell him, nobody can do me like God. See, the Lord, I declare, he will change us. The Lord said he will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on him. My God. Listen, you can go through the storm and not get unnerved, because the peace of God, the Bible says, which passes understanding, will keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Tell your neighbor, you don't have to fall apart through this. I like it because the Lord says, the Bible declares, listen, there are sometimes in your life, you know, you got to look beyond some stuff. When the Lord said, this, remember the verse that says, he loves us so much. Now see, this is where the world gets it twisted. This is where the world gets it now. And this is the mercy of God. But you don't want to live on just God's mercy. Not just. You don't hear what I'm saying. Say, what you talking about, preacher? I'm talking about read in the book where the ground opened up in some, huh? The Bible said he opened the earth and swallowed up a few thousand. Tell your neighbor, I'm not just trying to live. Tell him, I'm going to do right. Tell him that. Listen, but I heard the word said, listen, when he says he will look beyond your fault. Won't he do it? He said, the Bible says, listen, it says, when I was without strength, in the same verse, if you read verse number 6. Oh, they got it up there. Look, it says, while I was without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Tell your neighbor, that means he looked beyond my weakness. And he supplied my need. What you talking about, preacher? I'm talking about, listen, there comes a time if you're going to get to the next place that you're going to get to in God, tell your neighbor, you got to learn to look beyond some stuff. Amen. See, there are some things that come that nothing more than a hindrance to your life. Some of us can't get to our next place in God because we're so busy looking at stuff that's designed to stop you from getting to the next place in God. I mean, I would keep my job, but I can't get past my boss. Tell you, you better look past that boss. My God, I would sing on the choir, but those folk on the choir get on my last nerve. Tell you, better look beyond those folks. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying. Listen, I would pay tithes, but I don't want to give up what I have. Tell you, better look beyond that. You don't know what God has coming in your life if you can just look beyond what's immediately in front of you. Oh, praise God. Tell me if I got to learn to look beyond some stuff. My God, listen, I would praise God right now, but I know what I got to face tomorrow. Oh, God. Tell him, I got to praise him today. I got to learn to look beyond what I got to face tomorrow. Tell him, God's good to me right now. Tell him, that's why I can praise him right now. Anybody here feel like praising God right now? Tell him that I got to learn to look beyond some stuff. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Listen. Listen, take your seat real quick. Let me, but that's what this says. It talks about the benefits in serving God. And then there are some people in the Word of God in Acts chapter 24. Acts 24. Oh, God. Real quick. I got to stop. Acts 24:25. This is what he said. They're talking about those that oppose salvation. This is what it says. It says, and after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewish, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And he reasoned, as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, go your thy way for this time. It says, when I have a convenient season, I will call for you. Now, this is an illustration of the Word of God when Felix is making a choice that this is not the right season for me to get saved. He said, listen, let me just get some other things straight when it's more convenient for me, is what he says. Now he had, this is interesting because Paul had already testified before Felix of the false accusations that were against Paul. Now, Paul was accused by the high priest and the elders for stirring up trouble in the synagogues and among the people. And for several days had passed by. Listen, Felix, along with his wife, sent for the apostle Paul to hear him concerning the faith. In other words, this is what happened here. They called Paul, and Paul preached to this man a message that brought deep conviction in his heart. But the man said this. He said, listen, get out of my presence right now and come back later at a more convenient time. So that I can hear from you. But the Bible said in verse number 25, it said, Paul preached of righteousness. Paul preached of temperance. And Paul preached of judgment. And the judgment to come. And see, and that's a part of the message that you really don't hear much in a time like we're living. But if we don't do it right here, amen, the next thing is judgment. Amen. And we don't want to be in opposition to God. We want to be on the Lord's side. The Bible said that when Paul preached the message, it says that that Felix's his heart began to melt. And deep conviction came in his soul. Now, he was a man who was married to another man's wife. His very name and his characteristic was one of pleasure. That's all he was concerned about. It's known that he was a very licentious person. His passion was unrestrained. Whatever he desired to do was what he did. And he said, listen, I know I got a big, party planned for the next 12 days. So, Paul, this is so not the time for me to get saved. He said, this is not the right season. Huh? He said, you got to come back later when it's a more convenient time. Did y'all see that? Come on, tell your neighbor, don't procrastinate. And this person was depraved. He needed God, but he said, because of what I've got planned in my life. How many times have you witnessed to somebody and they'll tell you, you ask them, are you ready to give your life to the Lord? And they'll say to you, no, I'm not ready. And so the prayer with that person is, God, steer their minds, huh? Touch their heart and their conscience. Give this and illuminate their understanding so that they can see salvation the way we see salvation. Does that make sense? And then even for the people that are saved and you want, listen, a closer relationship with God, there ought to be some things that we look at in our lives that we say, God, I don't want to wait till next week to put down this cussing and fussing that I always do. I want a sweet spirit. Huh? God, I want to be close to you. I want my relationship with you to matter. I want it to mean something. Yes. Come on, tell your neighbor, don't procrastinate.
Don't procrastinate.
This is what the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 2. He said, I have heard you in a time accepted. Huh? And in the day, he says, of salvation, have I secured thee, is what he says. I've helped you in the day of salvation. It says, for he said, I've heard thee in the time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I secured thee. The next clause says, behold, now is the accepted time. Mm-hmm. Behold. It says, listen, take a listen to this. He says, the day is the day of salvation. Come on, tell your neighbor, don't wait. Don't wait. Listen, salvation too is a word that means you're whole. Who does not want to be whole in your life? Amen. You don't want to be dysfunctional. I tell you, dysfunctional people really are adept. They are very skilled and very calculating in their, ability to destroy stuff around them. Huh? You get a dysfunctional person, put them in a, deposit them in an atmosphere of peace, and trouble will arise. Amen. Everything that I see is suspicious. Everybody's after me. I'm a victim, and everybody are the accusers and are the orchestrators of my, of the presence of senility that I face. My dysfunction is not mine. It's based on what y'all are doing to me. I'm the victim. Don't forget that. See, that's why the Lord said, listen, salvation means I'm whole. It means, listen, I live in the presence of the Lord. I'm not here based on, I don't care about the stuff that's going on around me when I've got such grace, and such peace living inside of me. Amen. That's the difference in happiness and joy. When you are joyful, when you know the Spirit of God lives in you, it don't matter what chaos break loose. Tell your neighbor, thank God for the presence of the Lord. Anybody here ever, whenever you know when things happen in your life and you know that you're saved and love God, you get to a place, you called everywhere you know to call for help. And suddenly, there's no other phone calls you can make. You sit down in a corner and before you, throw in the towel, you start then thinking about how good the Lord is. You say, that's when sometimes we realize that, when no one else will help, that's when I can turn to the Lord. You don't hear what I'm saying. Now, I'm not suggesting that is not the model that God wants us to, want us to follow. We should go to him first. But often we don't do that. There have been some people in your life that you thought you couldn't live without. But when they walked away, you kept waiting on yourself to fall. But you didn't see. You got up to day number two, and guess what? You still had your sea legs underneath you. You still had strength underneath you. You don't hear what I'm saying. You got up a week late and looked around, and the walls hadn't fallen in yet. And you know you can help on day number 8 and 9. You can help but throw your hands up and say, thank God. Listen, when the people try to threaten you with a job, and you know, my job might be problematic, but the God that I serve... Glory to God. You can, you can't threaten me with no job. I've got the Lord. He's the giver of every good and perfect gift. He is my source. My God, I don't care who walks away. As long as I've got the Lord, I dare some child of God shout, that's enough.
That's enough.
That's what, psychiatrists can't even explain, don't know what it is about you, that causes you to still stand with a conviction and with a confidence in the God that you serve, and even when they can't see the God that you serve. Touch your neighbor and tell him, he's in me. He's in me.
In me.
Listen. And some denominations still falter because they don't understand even that coming. They say you're crazy talking about God is in you. They'll tell you he's too big to live in you. And they mean it. They mean it. They're serious. Say he's too big to live in you. But he's God. He can do anything he wants to do. The Bible said in Christ when he walked the face of the earth, the Bible said in him dwelt all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Do you believe the book? If he dwelt in him, guess what? He lives in me.
Thank you for listening to the Sermon of the Week with Pastor Tommy A. Murphy of New Bethel Church of God in Christ. New Bethel is a church on the move for God, and this podcast is an extension of the ministry for getting out the gospel to the masses. New Bethel Church of God in Christ, under the leadership of Pastor Tommy A. Murphy and First Lady Doris Murphy, is inviting you out to worship with their congregation at 1520 Little Rock Road, Charlotte, this Sunday for three dynamic services, 8 a.m., 10 a.m., and 12 noon. If you want to know more about New Bethel Church of God in Christ, go to our website, www.newbethelchurch.com. Also, if you were inspired by the sermon and wanting to obtain the message in its entirety, call us at 704-391-0365 and let your family, friends, and co-workers know about this podcast by simply logging on to www.praisecharlotte.com on your desktop, laptop, tablet, or smartphone and listen to the Sermon of the Week. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 4, verse 7, the Word of God declares, "Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and all in your getting, get understanding."
God bless you, saints of God. This is Pastor Tommy Murphy. I look forward to seeing you there.